Hey guys, what if someone told you that life is a dance between death and rebirth? And what if someone told you that there's a roadmap to navigate this mystical terrain and there's a key to unlocking your fullest potential in this lifetime? It is my profound pleasure to introduce Mariko Frederick, someone who holds that key and is a guide through the sometimes confusing maze of our spiritual existence. She's a luminary that straddles the realms of celestial and corporeal, guiding souls from all walks of life, CEOs, celebrities, and now you and me, all of us, to find, heal, and activate our four soul archetypes. Mariko is a spiritual healer, soul business mentor, and the compelling author of Soul Priority, where she uncovers the four soul archetypes that activate your unique soul assignment. Today, we'll talk about how to bridge the chasm between your daily grind and your daily sublime, between who you are and who you are destined to become. So grab your cosmic compass and prepare for a transformative journey that becomes, what Mariko has to share and what she has to share will not only answer the questions you didn't know that you had, but could very well align the stars in your favor. I am ready to hear about this, do things about this, and learn about this. Here we go. Welcome everybody to A Funny Way of Looking, where diverse voices meet open minds. We're live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday here on A Funny Way of Looking on Facebook and on YouTube. And on your favorite podcast. So subscribe, and we're gonna have an amazing conversation today with Mariko Frederick. Mariko, how are you today?
I'm great. Thanks for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Okay. I want to see if you did your homework. Yeah, I want who do you want to do a shout out to? That's my first question.
Oh, I want to do a shout out to my amazingly beautiful, wonderful goddaughter, Eliza.
Hey Eliza, welcome to the show. Let's jump right into your story, because in your book, the first thing that you talk about is the fact that you used to work in ICU and experienced death fairly often, it seemed like. And most people have not experienced death in the way that you got to see it. So talk about ICU, and then I want to talk about your NDE, near death, your death experience. So let's start with ICU.
Yeah, so I started working in ICU when I was only 19, and I was working as basically like what would be a trauma tech in a trauma intensive care unit. And so yeah, I've seen a lot of death from a pretty early age, and I don't know if you get used to death, but I think you kind of do working in that setting. And so for me, death was always very like you saw it coming. It's something that you fight, you have to fight for life. If you can't just let somebody die, right? Or if you do, it's because they're on hospice and you're maybe they're end of life care, maybe they're older. So for me, it was either you're young and you're fighting for life and like a whole team around that person is helping them, not die, or you're being let go gently because it's your time. And so that was my only experience in death. And mostly it was a fight for life.
That is absolutely fascinating. We could do a whole show on that, I am positive. But from there, in your book, you went on and you described how you actually died. So talk about that, because that's fascinating too, because you're here right now.
I am, yeah. So I didn't stay dead, did I?
No.
It's so funny because people call it a near-death experience, and I'm like, you're not near anything. If it's not your time, it's not your time. So they don't let you die. So I always feel like that's a funny name because I didn't really get near. I don't know. I wasn't really near death because they sent you back, and I'm totally alive. But yeah, so that happened when I was about 29, and it was completely unexpected, And when it happened, the funny thing is, there was never a point in my experience where I thought, oh, I'm dying. Like I knew it, and I knew that when I chose to take my last breath and exhale and not do it again, not try to breathe because it was so hard, I knew technically I was dying. But then on the other hand, like I never felt so alive. So how could you also think like, oh gosh, I'm dying? Like you don't actually feel that way. You're just like, oh wow, this is so much better.
What did it feel like? Because that is just an astounding thing to me. Like, did you like lose consciousness. I saw you said you floated, you were seeing things, you saw your husband and stuff like that.
I didn't lose consciousness, but I guess my body did. I mean, I was awake the whole time, right? I think my husband looking at me would tell you that I lost consciousness. I was like, you know, this like shade of gray. My skin had just, you know, I was not breathing for a long time. But I didn't feel that way. So my experience, you know, being the one dying was so different than watching somebody die, because it looks so sad, right? Yeah. If somebody's dying. And my experience was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. I feel better. Breathing's so overrated, because breathing had gotten hard, right? I had that like an elephant on my chest, like I was being crushed and I couldn't breathe. So it was like this weight, I was like inhaling and exhaling and trying to push this weight up. And finally, when I just let it fall, it was, my first thought was, oh, that's so much better. Breathing's so overrated.
It's it. So why did you come back, or how did you come back? Give us that part of the story.
I was sent back. I didn't want to come back. I don't know a lot of people. I mean, I haven't talked to a lot of people that have had a near death, but I think, you know, when you're there, it's like your home, like, oh, this is my true identity. This is who I've always been. This is who I always will be. This is me. Ever expanding bliss and joy and love. And like, why wouldn't I want to go back? Right. Like go back. And honestly, like my experience felt so long in that realm that when they told me I had to go back, and their specific instructions was, so just a backstep. Here I am. After I leave this world, you do a life review. You see all the parts where you're basically like in tune with your soul, connected to soul, living from soul. And then the parts where you're working from ego, right? So it's like, you get to see all those moments that really matter in life. And the goal of life obviously is to live from soul completely, just live from that love and joy and expansiveness. So, and then the experience was bigger than that, of course, but in the moment where I'm finally just shed all of who I thought I was, right? All ego identity is gone. And I'm just like, soaring in this infinite ocean of love and bliss and joy. And I realized in that moment, I was never Mariko. I've always been this. This is who I am. Like, oh, what was I thinking, right? And I'm just like allowing it and just completely immersed in this love. And then I hear this voice say, it's not your time.
Oh, that kind of sucks.
Yeah. And I was like,
Yeah.
And they had to tell me 3 times, because the first time they're like, it's not your time, you have to go back. And I was like, nope, can't make me. And then they're like, you have to go back and help people. It's not your time. And again, I was like, And then the third time it was really just this vibration of resistance from me. Like, where would I even go? And then the third time they really got into a little more explanation. All of this is happening in what I call like thought waves. So it wasn't just a voice, although at this point I actually did hear more of a human voice, but it's like this wave of energy, this wave of a thought that comes into you so that you don't just hear it because you don't have ears anymore. So you don't have the human senses, but it's like this wave of a message coming into you so that you really understand it. And what they told me was, it wasn't my time. I had to go back and help people. Remember who you are. Go back and help them. Remember who you are. And then they went into telling me that every soul has a time where they can go. And you can't go before or after that time. And it's not your time. And I have to go back and help people. And by that time, I didn't know who I was supposed to go back and be. Like, I mean, for me, it was like, I've been here for 1,000 years, 800 years. And you want me to go be who?
Yeah. That I think that's absolutely fascinating. I think there's a lot of people, one of the things in life that happens is people wonder, like, is there an afterlife, or just I die and go to sleep? What happens? And the fact that you've had your own experience and you can share that's amazing. I want to talk about rebirth and death and life. And is it fair to say that the rebirth is the same as reincarnation, or is that different the way that you look at it?
The way I look at it is the same.
Okay. And so when we have between death and the next life, and I guess that's where the rebirth happens, what is there to experience? And what is it that we get to remember? We don't remember. What is it we bring with us? And what's supposed to happen in the next life?
I love that. We never stop living. you know, I, and so the word die is such a silly word to me because it's like, it actually doesn't happen ever. So I don't know why we use it, except for that in our human experience, we see something and it's not moving anymore. It's not breathing. And we're like, it's dead, but it's not, it's the essence of who that being is, whether it's a plant, I'm sorry, whether it's a bug or a person or an animal still lives on. And so in my experience, again, I went into, and this is life between lives, right? So this is not, this is where it gets a little confusing. this is not my death experience. That was separate. That was when I was 29. And then, but my real experience, not my real experience, but the main experience that they, I think, brought me back in order to share with people the part where they said, remember who you are and go back and help people. I think it was this. In fact, I knew it at the time and it still took like almost 20 years to share it out loud because it's so unique. But I remain completely conscious in between my last life and this one, like right now. So for me, it's one long memory, but it's hard to say I remember it because it's kind of like I never forgot it. I remember everything that happens in between lifetimes the way that I remember last week. I didn't forget last week. It's just that was last week and then this was before that. So in between lifetimes, in my experience, and this is unique to me, and I think a lot of people in this world, but we don't all necessarily go to this realm. But I went to a realm, the astral realm, which was a realm of light and just joy and bliss. And it, literally, it was like a world made of light. And you, I was in more of a human shape, right? I did have not a human body like this, but similar. Except for that everybody there is made of light and the plants and the mountains and the water and everything is made of light. So I had an entire lifetime there where I go into it in my book, but I really did take my own journey there and grow and in consciousness and, you know, my soul assignment, what I was here to do. And then after that life was over and we do plan our next life, I actually went into a higher realm called the causal realm. And that realm is a realm where there is no more, it's not just joy and love and bliss, right? This, it's my experience anyways. This realm was a realm of thought and not in the human way that we necessarily think, because it's a lot more expansive than that, but it was thought and idea. So if we think about where does the thought come from that we manifest from, it's our causal body, right? So that's the causal realm. It wasn't really a planet because there wasn't anything solid. There wasn't even lights or form in the same way. And that was a realm where I just really worked out like I what I call a purification process. And I got to see all of me from my, from like, I think kind of like the beginning of my existence, which again is limited because I've never not existed. Neither have you. Like we've always existed, but they did show me the span of myself in different incarnations.
How long do you actually get to stay in that realm while you're between what we think of as life and the rebirth?
So I think it's different for everybody. You know, I think I've read in some holy texts that maybe it could be like 500 to 1,000 years in between incarnations. I don't know. I think for me, because I remember my last time, I would definitely say that's true because of my memory of the time that I was in was not modern. It was very much like, you know, stone buildings and dirt paths and the guy with the cart, the vegetable cart, and very 500,000 years ago. Even though, but to me, I felt as modern as anybody would standing in like a skyrise apartment in Manhattan. I felt that modern, but I look back on the memory and I'm like, yeah, it was a long time ago, but yeah, no, you know, other souls in the astral realm were so ancient and they were like living there full time almost and doing bigger work than I was. So hard to say.
I got you. So before we get into the archetypes, I have to ask you, why do we have to keep coming back here? I mean, we've got these other lives that we've lived. We've got the astral plane that we can be on. We've got all of this stuff. Why do I have to keep coming back here? Why do you have to keep coming back here?
I mean, you know, the simple answer is we choose to. And then I think we don't remember choosing to because we're like, why would I choose this?
Right.
There's such an opportunity in this planet for growth. And I mean, really, the only why for any of it is enlightenment, you know, to remember who you are as the infinite soul. And
I think that's what do you really think the point is to all of it? Like, why any of these lives? What's the point from your point of view?
For me, it feels like and I don't mean to like rock anybody's religion, but for me, it's like this expanding of a parts of a whole. Like we are all a part of God. We are all like, you know, a piece or a unit of God's love, of God's consciousness. And it's almost like this pulling apart and then choosing to come back together.
Okay.
And that's what it feels like to me. But we have to choose it because we have free will, and we can choose ego, and we can choose spiritual entertainment or any kind of entertainment we find here, and just spend lifetime after lifetime in the drama, because this world is kind of like a play. It's like a big drama unfolding, and there's the villain and there's the good guy and there's all these people. And guess what? We all chose those roles, even the bad guys.
That's awesome. Do you get to choose while you're still in the astral plane, or does it just like get thrown on you, you think?
I don't know. I don't remember exactly. I just remember feeling so much bliss. So I don't know, because I don't remember choosing another time. I just remember feeling so excited and bliss. And there's like celebration of souls around me. But I didn't go straight from the astral back to this realm. A lot of people do. I went into the higher realm called the causal realm.
Okay.
And from there, I was just in this. I mean, it's a longer experience in my book. But from there, at the end, before I incarnated, I was just in oneness consciousness with God. There was no one else. It was just ever expanding love and bliss everywhere. And then all of a sudden, I remember feeling like so much love. And then I was like, oh, there's so much love and it's in my heart. And then I realized I have a heart. And I was like, oh, I'm back. I have a body.
There we go. Yeah, I kind of want to go back where I was, but you're here now. So, well, now you are here and you've got this awesome book, your Soul Priority book. And you have four archetypes that you talk about. Tell us about the archetypes and why do you think, why are there four? What do we have to do? Do we need to open them all up? Do we need to be just one? Tell us about the archetypes. That's what I want to know now.
Yeah, so this came about during my actual near-death experience in this lifetime, right? So when I was like 29, this is where the archetypes came from. And the funny thing is, it took years to know what on earth they gave me. So there was a moment in my experience where everything's quiet, but everything got extra quiet. And it felt like these souls were kind of like uploading me, downloading me, whatever you want to call it, with information that I would need. And I remember just this very serious, sacred moment with them. And when I woke back up, when they put me back in my body, I've always carried with me this, you know, what I felt like was a soul assignment. I always carried with me this knowledge, but it was literally like somebody handed me a box and it was locked and I couldn't open it. And it was only, I mean, it really was not that far, maybe a year or two before my book launch. So maybe we're looking at 3 years ago or so, that the rest of that opened up and I understood what was in the box, and it was the four soul archetypes. So I understood it, like it took 10 minutes and to just write everything down, and only took that long because it took a while to write it all, but it was like it was always there. And I remember it was a morning in August, and it was like, oh gosh, there it is, write it down really quick. And then I still needed more information about it. It was like, it wasn't quite complete. So you'd ask me at one point, how long did it take to write my book? And I was like, well, 6 weeks, but also 10 years. Because the first part of my story of my near death and life between lives, that just took 6 weeks, because that's just, I already knew that part. And then the other part, the second half or the second part two of the book, it took a while to get all the downloads. So that was where I got them. And it took a while to even name, right? Because there's no language. It's not like they're like sending me back with, you know, a book deal and a website and all that. It's just this like inner knowing in your soul, and you've got to unpack it and then translate it to human words. So it's a little harder, but yeah, that's where the archetypes came from.
Okay. What are the four archetypes? I want people to understand those, and tell us what we need to do once we understand that we are one or two or three or all four of those archetypes. What is it that we need to do?
So you're all four of them. And I think the cool thing about these archetypes and what they gave me is it's a way to live from your soul every day. And even more than that, it's a way to work from your soul. Because I think a lot of people are in jobs and careers where they just feel like they're not aligned with their soul all day long. Like they have this soul sucking job. And then on Sunday they go to church or Wednesday night yoga or whatever it is they do to tune into their soul. And the soul archetypes really feel like a way, a path for humanity to go, oh, wait, I can be aligned with my soul all the time, even at a job that I don't love. So you have four soul archetypes. You have all of them. You always have. And you don't have like necessarily more of one, but there is one that's probably more activated, one that is like breathing. You don't have to worry about, you don't have to think about it. So each one of these helps you live and work throughout your day. So there is the reflector archetype, and that one is the part of you. And I'm going to say the part of you because it's not a gift. It's like, it's literally a part of you. So the reflector archetype is the part of you that is very, I don't want to say psychic necessarily because some people don't think they are, but it's the part of you that sees other people's souls.
Okay.
It's the part of you that's like, you feel the love in their soul. You feel their genuine essence. And that is the reflector archetype. You really see the truth in other people. Now, beyond that, you might be able to see more, right? So you see, you might be psychic and you might be able to feel like, oh, I feel what you're here to do. I see your bigger mission in life, right? And that's a really great reflector archetype where we like see the assignments on people's soul. We see the truth of who they are. And that is the reflector. There's more to it, but that's basically like that part of you. And then there is the connector archetype. And I like to call this our moneymaker because the reflector archetype is the part of you that like can unapologetically make money doing what you're here to do. Now, a lot of people have a wound on that archetype, so they're really good at helping other people make money doing what they're here to do, but they don't always make money doing what they themselves are here to do. And the connector archetype is that part of you that already knows all the people and has all the contacts for whoever it is that you meet that needs to meet those people. I don't know if that's making sense, but it's like you already have a contact list full of the right people for others. And when you start pulling that together for other people, they start making more money, right? Or even because money doesn't, I don't want to say money doesn't matter, but when we leave this world, it truly never mattered. It's not real. Abundance is real and you can have as much money as you want. There's no shame. There's no guilt. It's like, have whatever you want. Yeah, I can have as many candles as I want too. The universe doesn't care. Same with money. It's fine. You can have millions of dollars and you're good. No guilt. So with the connector archetype, you are just brilliant at connecting not just people to situations where they can make more money. Money's a byproduct of it, but it really is getting bigger and bigger ideas out there.
Gotcha. So one thing you said just a second ago is you mentioned the wounded archetype. Yeah. And but you said something that really caught my attention. It's like, if you have the wounded archetype and you can help other people, I think you said make money, but you can't do it yourself. What, talk about that, because I think there's a lot of people that go like, that's me.
Right? So many people are like, I used to be like that until I healed it. And I was like, oh my gosh, wow, okay. And then money started coming my way. that wound is, it has a lot, I'd say it's different for everybody. So I can't say it's like one thing, but a lot of people feel like they're not worthy of the money, or they feel guilty, like they have to give it all away. If I won the lottery, I would give it all away, or I would don't, like, there's always this, if I was rich, then I will give it all away, because I can only be allowed to have money if I'm a good girl or boy. And that's actually beautiful, but also not true. You can just have money to have money. It's fine. I think because you're working from your heart, you want to give some away, but the people that have the wounds, they would like give it all away.
Yeah.
So there is that aspect of, I think, unapologetically owning how gifted you are, adding it as a service if you're an entrepreneur, or if you have a job, and saying, I'm going to get paid really well because of how gifted I am.
Okay.
And that kind of, I think in all the archetypes, but the connector archetype is, when healed, does that very easily. And then, yeah, when there's a wound on it, maybe of worthiness, maybe childhood wounds, whatever it's from, it becomes difficult.
I love that. I want to, before we run out of time, I want to play a game with you that I've been doing with a lot of people, and it's called This or That. I want to learn more about you. So I'm going to give you a question with just two answers. You can choose one or the other, but not neither or both. And let's get to learn some more about Mariko and just see how she might answer some of these questions. We'll start easy. They'll get a little harder, maybe. And we'll get to thought provoking sometime in the course of this. So easy question, sunrise or sunset?
Sunset, not a morning person. I'm not a sunrise. Who's awake at sunrise? Not me.
Not me.
Some people love it, but no, sunset.
All right. Forest or ocean?
Well, I live on the ocean, so I'll say ocean.
Okay. How about birth or rebirth?
I mean, isn't it all the same?
Is it the same? So, okay.
I mean, in our human experience, it's different. I guess rebirth, because I want humanity to rebirth into a higher level.
How about past life or future life?
Ooh. You know what? Again, there is no time. Everything's happening right now. Your past, present, and future are happening right now.
Gotcha.
But let's just say future because, you know, it's just going to get better.
Okay. How about fate or free will?
Ooh, I like free will.
Yeah. Sometimes I've actually talked to people that say there's no difference between the two, and then some fight for one or the other as if they're completely different things, but you're in the free will?
Well, we're having this human experience and we do have free will. I think there is a lot of fate. And I think that the more aligned you are with your soul, the more your free will and fate are like the same thing.
Okay.
So,
yeah, I feel you on that. How about inner peace or worldly success?
Oh, inner peace.
Okay. Heaven or reincarnation?
What'd you say?
Heaven or reincarnation?
Oh, heaven.
Yeah. Okay. Self-discovery or universal truth?
Same thing. Universal truth. It's the same.
Okay. Do you, I want to see, do you make a separation or a difference between guardian angel or spirit guide?
Not really. I'd say some people, I call a lot of them spirit guides. Some of them are very angelic that I see. Not everybody incarnated from this realm. There's people from higher realms here.
Okay.
So when I'm talking to their guides, it's a whole different level. But in general, I would say spirit guides.
Okay. How about, let's go a little tougher. How about ego death or spiritual awakening?
I mean, same thing. So spiritual awakening.
Okay. Soul contract or cosmic accident?
Oh, soul contract. There's no accidents.
No accidents. I love that. Yeah. I've often tried to understand the no accident clause in life, and I haven't quite grasped it yet. Explain it just real quick if you can.
The universe is pretty chaotic. There's so much going on at once. And like I just kind of briefly skimmed over that all timelines are happening right now. So your past, your present, your future are all happening right now. There's so much that our human consciousness can't even conceive of.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So if I was to ask you like linear time or eternal now, I'm guessing you're going to say.
There's only the eternal now. There is no linear time. Yeah.
Okay. Collective consciousness or individual soul?
Well, I like individual soul because the collective can be lower.
Explain that. What do you mean?
Well, the collective consciousness for this planet, for Earth, is like a C average. We're not like this high vibe and soul like realm right here. We're just C average. There's a lot of people from the higher realms, and there's some folks that came up from the lower realms trying to make their way up. But in general, I was shown that this realm, this Earth, is a C average. So I would not want to be a C average in the collective consciousness. I would rather be individual and choose to move into the highest level of consciousness that I can.
Okay. That, I think that's fair. And I want to be an A student too.
Yeah.
Okay. I just want to see how you answer this one. I'm not going to, there's no presuppositions or anything, but wounded archetype or activated archetype?
Well, I like activated because even if you're wounded and you have an act and you're activated in it, you're going to be working and then the wound can just go. So yeah, step into your power.
Okay. How about mystical experience or scientific explanation?
I mean, I'm such a nerd. Like both sound amazing, but I know I'm not allowed that. So let's go with mystical because so much of the stuff that happens in this realm, there actually like that we don't see, there's not even language for.
Okay.
There's no human sounds for some of the stuff. Like we can't create a word for it. So let's go with mystical.
Okay. I like that. How about predestined soulmate or choice-based companions?
Well, I married my soulmate, so I'll go with soulmate.
Okay. And one, I got one more for you. How about universal love or personal love?
Oh, universal.
Yeah.
Because it's the same thing again. I love these questions.
Which one do we have on our C minus planet that we're living on right now?
Which one what?
On our C minus planet that we're on right now, which one are we experiencing or moving toward right now, you think?
Which one, sorry, of what?
Universal love or personal?
Oh, gosh. I think people are working. I mean, honestly, I think they're working toward personal love. I think there a lot of people are just working on loving themselves. But then once that happens, you start to expand into other, right? But I think that we're having these individual experiences. And as you start to heal and release some of the otherness, the hate, all the bigotry and things that are happening, you can expand into a universal love. So I think that's what's happening. So, and we're not C minus, we're just C.
We're not C minus yet.
That's what I was showing anyway. Yeah.
Oh, Mariko, I want people to stay in touch with you for sure. And they can do that in a variety of ways. You've got your website, soulpriority.com. And they can find you on Facebook. And from there, they can find your Facebook group if they look for Mariko. And for everyone that's listening, as opposed to reading on the screen, it's Mariko, Mariko dot Frederick, Frederick. So check that out. You're also on Instagram at Mariko Frederick, one word. And you are amazing. I just love what you're doing.
Thank you. This was so much fun. Thanks for having me.
We're going to keep doing some of these things. And in the future, for everyone who wants to check out A Funny Way of Looking, join our new newsletter. Mariko's going to be in the newsletter. We're going to talk about her, have her republication of this transcript. And if you missed it, you want to read it, take notes, it'll be there for you in probably a couple of weeks. And thank you so much for being on the show. This has been so fun for me. And I'm going to keep reading your book and figure out the rest of what's happening.
Thank you. Yeah, enjoy it. This has been so much fun. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And everybody else, we'll see you next show.